Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and in just a couple of days, we open up the firearms deer hunting season here in Michigan. And so I know it's a huge day. A lot of places closed down. I've even seen important meetings moved because they fall on not the right date. So, you know, it's a day that so many people look forward to, and we'll call it a holiday. We do this show every single year, and joining me right now is John Depew from, he's the DNR wildlife biologist for this area, Sergeant Grant Emery, who's also with the DNR, the area law supervisor, and Kevin Erickson, host of our own Deer Hunters Roundup. So, guys, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's a good to be here. We do this every year because, you know, not only does it play well on Deer Hunters Roundup when we're able to share some of the things that we talk about here, it's good to cover the different changes, different trends that are going on in deer hunting. I myself am not a deer hunter, but I've got a lot of expertise here at the table here to help out. And as I said, so I'm not a deer hunter. And not everybody does, though. There's, you know, of course, got a lot more people who do hunt up here than where I'm originally from, down in the Detroit area. And I want to talk just a little bit about who a deer hunter is, because somebody who's not familiar with them, you know, they're the guys out there killing Bambi. They're the people who are just out there enjoying shooting animals, and that's a bad rap.
John, come and jump right in there. Unless I'm sure. Wrong, they just like to go out there and shoot.
No, absolutely not. Right. So the hunting tradition is most guys and gals, folks that pursue consumptive use, are just interested in being out in the woods, right? It's a chance to get out and be in the woods and like evaluate the environment, follow a deer, whatever species they're chasing. It's not necessarily just deer, right? So duck hunters and trappers and the like, we can go on, but they enjoy being out there and seeing the wildlife. You talk to deer hunters, which I do quite a bit, they will tell you stories about the marten they saw under their stand, or what the red squirrel was doing, or the fisher that ran up and started going up the tree and then back down. And you know, you hear stories about that, like that, all the time. So they're just interested. It's like an excuse to be out there. Certainly they're pursuing deer and they want to harvest a deer, but it's an opportunity to like really focus on what's happening with the environment and the species and how different species are using the environment. And it's pretty exciting. So, you know, ultimately, some of the first conservationists in this country were hunters, right? So, and it still is the case. So, hunters spend a lot of time and money and resources improving habitat. There's a tax on guns and ammunition, Pittman-Robertson, and that money's turned back through grant programs to states. And different grant opportunities to private organizations that helps fund improving habitat, not just for deer, right? There's a whole suite of species that are going to benefit from improving deer habitat or improving habitat for bears or certain game species. But those monies can also be spent on non-game species. And if you think of the big organizations like Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation or Turkey Wildlife Federation, there's these big Ruffed Grouse Society, these big national organizations that are founded on hunters, but the dollars and the conservation that they do goes hugely beyond just focusing on those game species. I mean, these hunters are really interested in more than just deer, right? They're interested in the whole picture. You know, that's, you don't sit in a tree stand for 8 hours a day just because you want to see a deer. I mean, there might be some folks like that, but they're very observant of what's going on in the world, and they like being out there and like sitting still and being quiet and see what's happening out there.
Because I can certainly think of easier ways to get meat for the winter.
Oh yeah, right. Well, if you could add up the amount of gear, you know, the money you spend on gear to go hunting and the time that you spend, right? It doesn't. But there's something about being out in the woods this time of year that's really pretty exciting. It's cool. It's fun. You know. Animals are moving, preparing for winter, depending on what the weather conditions are doing. They do different things, right? We've had a couple deer hunting seasons that have been sunny and 60, and then we've had some that had 3 feet of snow. And it's pretty neat kind of to experience the deer season in both of those kind of environments.
one argument made for, you know, supporting hunting is that without the hunters, you know, you would still have quite a few dead deer over in the course of a winter, and that the hunting actually helps, harvest deer from the wild and makes it for those that are left, they have a much better chance of survival. Is that true?
Yes. Yep. To some degree. So the kind of the rule of thumb in wildlife management for harvesting wildlife species is you're taking, you know, some small percentage, under 20% of the population, and of that, you know, there's juveniles of the year that might not make it, or adults of the year that might not make it. So you're right. So we're not harvesting a population that's the harvesting is not going to be the demise of the population. In many cases, depending on your harvest objectives, there are certain harvest management goals that you want to reduce a population. So you increase the opportunity for hunters to take animals, and that's for whatever species you need to address some issue, right? Or likewise, we reduce permits, as we did with does a few years ago, taking does during the bow season to help the population increase. But in general, the rule of thumb is you're harvesting animals that may or may not make it anyway, and it's not going to have an impact on the population, you know, in general. But, you know, things change. Nothing is static in the environment. It's very dynamic, stochastic. So we're adjusting our harvest regulations for deer and other species accordingly.
As I mentioned, I'm from downstate. I lived in the suburb of Detroit, and where I was from, you don't just take your truck and drive down the road and park it and then head out into the woods. You'll be hunting in somebody's fenced-in backyard. So up here, you know, you don't have to go very far to hunt. But down there, if you were going, everybody would always go north. Well, you don't go very far north when you're already when you're up here. Kevin, I'm throwing this question to you since you host the Deer Hunters Roundup, and you hear from a lot of hunters. Do the majority of people that are from this area, do they hunt locally, or do they go somewhere else where maybe there's not as much snow, or there might be more deer?
Well, it sort of depends on the season. And when we have those years where there's no snow, and then there's some hunters that want the snow to be tracking and everything, you'll see at the beginning of the season, especially, the majority of our kills are right where you expect them to be, in Baraga County, in Houghton County, some in Keweenaw County, even though the rule of thumb is that it's mostly southern Houghton County where you're going to be able to find the deer. There supposedly isn't enough in Keweenaw County and northern Houghton County, but we still get a lot of reports from that area. There are Houghton hunters that go as far as Baraga County, I guess, if that's a long trek, because that's where their camps are more than anything else. And there are people from outside the area that always show up at a buddy's camp, but typically it's a local who has the camp. They come from out of the area that they're hunting at that camp. So, you know, our 3-county, 4-county area, even including Ottonagon, is still attractive, even though Menominee, Dickinson, and Iron are more populated, I would say, at least looking at the roadways coming home.
Do we get a lot of people who come here? Because we have, of course, great, you know, snowmobile tourism during the wintertime. I don't know. Do we have much of a hunting tourism that people want to come to the Keweenaw to hunt?
Ottonagon County, we do have an increase in non-residents coming from also Wisconsin, other states, but lower Michigan. It seems to be a lot more concentration of seasonal camps over there. In this neck of the woods, we have some, but not as many.
Okay. Might be some better places.
Yeah, I think, you know, to some degree, it's probably much smaller, but there are folks that head up to the Keweenaw to hunt deer.
Keweenaw is known for their big bucks. You know, yeah. There's very few, but they're known for their big bucks.
And there are.
There's some diehard hunters that will go to these remote locations, even though their chances of seeing a larger, more mature deer are slim. They're willing to put the time and effort in to have that chance, possibly.
And you have 15 days, so if you concentrate the beginning part looking for the big buck, and then just getting a buck before everything is all said and done. You know, we've seen that in some of the reports too. Some of our larger, if you were to give a prize to the largest deer, they tend to to show up more at the beginning because that's where, what they're concentrating on. They're letting all the youngsters go.
Of course, we want everybody to be safe when they come. So let's talk a little bit about things that people need to keep in mind. I always say, of course, you know, the wear of the orange, and that's probably the biggest and most important thing you can do.
Right. Hunter's orange, a hunter, when they're afield in the process of hunting, have to have a hat, cap, vest, or rain gear of hunter's orange. At least 50% of it has to be that. And one that we run into many times that I always stress is even if you're in your blind, you have to have your orange on. Because what does happen at times is a hunter shoots at a deer, hits it, the deer runs off, the hunter immediately leaves the blind and goes after it, and sometimes does not have their orange on, which creates a possible safety issue with other hunters, with movement through the woods and stuff like that with no hunter's orange on. So hunter's orange is still required even if you are in your deer blind of one of those pieces, articles.
Is orange still the only color? Because there had been some pushes, people wanted to get pink and, you know.
Yes, I did mention hunter's pink last year. The NRC just in August, I do believe, recommended not to go with the hunter's pink. We're going to stick with the traditional hunter's orange.
Just can't mix fashion with...
I guess not.
We have some unique challenges here in our neck of the woods of the Upper Peninsula, though the area where you don't get cell phone service is beginning to shrink, and that's a good thing. You still might find yourself in certain areas without GPS or without an ability to call out. What are some things you can do to avoid, you know, getting stuck or stranded somewhere?
Well, the best thing we recommend for all recreational users is a plan. Like for boaters, we call it a float plan. But for hunters or for any recreation users, we'd like them to provide a plan to someone that they know. And this plan would consist of where you're going, what time you should be back, and to check in with that person when you leave or when you get back, so they know. So we don't have someone out there stranded for hours or overnight or days. We found that to be very useful in the past. Those individuals that have not had those plans are usually the ones that fall into trouble. Don't have a plan, don't know. There's not someone that knows that they're out there. And you know, if something does tragically happen, like fall out of a tree stand or something like that, the response time is critical for that person.
Does the weather that we've had, particularly this fall, where it's been so wet, does that create any other safety or potential dangers if you're going out? Whether it's, you know, an obvious one might just simply be you can't trust any kind of road you're going to be driving on, but you know, also there's conditions that are out there in the woods.
Well, it is wet, and with the recent snowfall we've had, a lot of those water mud holes are covered up and partially frozen. Some of my officers in the last week have gotten stuck out in the woods. So it's best to be prepared. If you don't know, don't go. You know, get out and walk, and make sure you know the roads you're driving down and that they are passable or impassable, depending on how much snow we're going to get.
John, let's go back to you, because, you know, one question that we usually ask at the beginning, but I wanted to wait a little further until we got in, is, you know, how's the deer herd looking?
Good. It's looking good, quite honest, yeah. So we had an early spring breakup, and the snow, you know, melted fairly early this season. And that's good for deer, right, so they can get to some food sources sooner when they're most stressed in end of March, early April. And we have, you know, what we've seen driving around, but between the conservation officers and field staff and the hunters that we talked to, you know, a lot of does with fawns, a lot of does with twin fawns through the summer. You know, we're seeing them still, does with fawns of the year, so that's encouraging. You know, we talked to a lot of bear hunters while we are registering their bears, and, you know, they have cameras out. And they've all, you know, a lot of them have commented on the number of deer they've been seeing on their cameras and in the field. So I think it's pretty encouraging. I think folks are pretty excited. I think, you know, still that the age 3 and 4 class bucks are kind of going to be slim this year, because those were, you know, impacted by winters 3 and 4 years ago. But we'll be seeing some. I've checked a couple 1.5-year-old deer, actually, that were pretty sizable bucks. Not huge racks, but nice bodies, which is encouraging. And there'll be some 2.5-year-olds out there. So, you know, hunters will see some deer this year for sure. And they might not see a bunch of monsters because that 3- and 4-year-old age classes is the demographic of the population is much smaller than we've had in the past, but they're going to see some bucks, and it should be pretty exciting. You know, it's cold now, right? You know, who knows what's going to happen here next week, but the long-term forecast is like it's one of the colder, going into one of the colder deer rifle hunting seasons in the past couple of years. So,
how does that affect the deer? Do they move more?
I mean, to some degree, but I think if we get a little snow, a lot of guys, like Kevin said, like to hunt with a little bit of snow on the ground. You can see their tracks easier when there's fresh snow. We're not in, you know, migration pattern at this point because we don't have enough snow. When we hit 10, 12 plus inches, that's kind of the catalyst, the trigger for deer to move from the woods that don't have sufficient deer winter cover to move, to migrate to places that do. So our deer, you know, our migrators, they'll migrate 30, 40, 50, 60 miles. I want to mention a few things. So you might see, so we have a fairly large Michigan Predator Prey Research Project going on based out of Forest Highway 16 between Lake Berga, or M38 and 28. And those deer, they catch in the winter, and then they disperse in the spring. And so they tag and radio collar those deer. Those are legal targets. But if you kill a deer with ear tags, if you give us a call and just give us the ear tag numbers, it's good information for us to gather for that research project. Then, of course, the collars we'd like back. They're fairly expensive, and we'll put them on a new deer. But we're happy to share that information and where they were initially captured in the winter with the hunter and any information we have about it. So it can be it's pretty interesting stuff. They also have a webpage if no one's not familiar with it. They have a Facebook page, Michigan Predator Prey. So just Google search that. Very informative, very cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. And those deer were released in Berga County, said, right?
Southern Houghton.
Yeah, and they were trapped, in the wintertime in a live trap, and that's when they tag them and put the radio collars and stuff like that. And then they release them in the exact same place.
Yep.
All right, it's not like we relocated them. We release them, and then as they migrate in the springtime back to their summer range, that's where some of them will still be during the firearm deer season as they migrate before they migrate back to where they winter.
Yep. So we've been getting calls. I've been getting calls on. A guy seeing deer with ear tags or radio collars on their cameras, or you know they've seen them just out in the bush.
That's typically the Forest Highway 16 is where the Lake Superior Pro Rally hangs out on their Friday night. That's sort of like the traveling road, and it's the only way to get to Kenton. You know, you end up leaving the county when you get, you know, you're in Berg or whatever, but to get to that southern part of Houghton County, really, that's the easiest way to get there.
Okay. I did a show sometime last year where we brought in people that were trying to put together a plan for chronic wasting disease so that if and when it appears in the Upper Peninsula, that we would, you know, kind of have a plan in place on what to do. And the thought of it was more of a question of when than if. First, let's remind people what chronic wasting disease and why we would want to keep it out of the Upper Peninsula.
Well, chronic wasting disease is a prion. It's like a folded protein, so it's not a live virus or a bacteria. You can't kill it. The protein can be taken up. The deer like consume it. Well, it can, you know, deer will smell other feces and saliva and that kind of thing. So those type of interactions is where the protein can be contaminated from one individual to another. It also is viable on the surface of vegetation and in the soil for years and years and years. So then the animal kind of uptakes this, and then it like is it building its cells and multiply, and it causes kind of a chain reaction. So you might not see it. These deer can consume this prion and can have chronic wasting disease, but it could take a few years before the animal dies. But we've seen from out west, where they've had chronic wasting disease for a number of years, that it can have dramatic, significant impacts on the population. Big declines. So we don't want that up here, right?
Sure.
There's no evidence to date to show that it can humans can contract chronic wasting disease even with cooked meat. But there's some preliminary data from some macaque study in Canada, with unpublished results that may suggest otherwise. But it's, you know, it's just something that we want to be cautious about. So to that note, and to that end, of course, you can't bring in, and Grant maybe can expand on this, you have to bring in animals from anywhere outside of Michigan. Ungulates, there has to be deboned meat that comes in. And if you kill a deer here in Michigan and you're concerned with CWD, we will test it for you. Bring your animal. We need the head. Bring your animal to the Berga check station, and we will have it sent down to the lab and tested for free. It's free. Anyone can have their deer tested, whether it showed symptoms or not. Of course, if there are any deer that show symptoms, like the deer would be skinny, like emaciated. You might have some saliva coming out of its nose or mouth. It could look kind of like droopy, like it's not lifting its head. It's not very aware. Its ears might be kind of droopy, so those are like some symptoms that you might notice. But I haven't had any of those come in. But if you're still just a perfectly healthy deer that you killed, and for some reason you're concerned, go ahead and bring the deer to us. We'll take the head, we can cut the antlers off. It's a buck, and we'll send it down to the lab and have tested. It takes, you know, depending on how busy they are, a week to a couple weeks to have it tested for chronic wasting disease and get back to you. Yep.
Is Sergeant Emery, so other than cautioning people not to do it, is there any enforcement that
yes.
is available to prevent it or to punish those that do?
Yes, it is illegal to bring multiple animals like deer, elk, moose, and other cervids from other states into Michigan unless they are deboned. And if you bring the antlers back, the skull cap has to be cleaned. We are really focusing on our border counties in the UP especially, because chronic wasting disease is located just into Wisconsin. So we're taking it very seriously. We do not want this prion to come to Michigan. We don't want that effect on our local deer numbers and our population. It is in lower Michigan, but we're going to try to do the best we can to keep it out of our area.
We focus mainly on deer hunting, of course, this because of opening season here in just a couple of days. But real quick, it's not the only kind of hunting that's going on in Michigan. What else what other opportunities are available for hunters here now and in the near future?
Well, it's grouse season right now, and until the opening
14th. The grouse season ends November 14th. And it opens back up in December 1st through January 1st.
Right. Yep, so it was goose waterfowl season. Currently, it's trapping season. And what else we got, Grant?
When's turkey season? Turkey. I know we've talked about that in the past.
I believe that also ends November 14th.
Okay, so only a couple more days for to get out there if that's what you're... That's what you'd like, but of course, we're asking, kind of put you on the spot to name all those things. If people want to get a list of those dates and they want more information, or they want to read up on whatever regulation changes that are taking place, what's the best place for them to do it?
Well, on the web, there's our DNR website, which you can go on the internet and just search Michigan DNR, and there's hunting digests and trapping digests and fishing regulations and everything on there. Or you can stop at most places that sell our licenses. The digests are available there free to any individual that would like to get one of those. And our regulations do change, sometimes yearly. So and sometimes the changes that occur during the year, like for CWD or whatever, those will be posted on our website as well.
And Kevin is the host of the Deer Hunters Roundup. Of course, we want to encourage people to listen to that show and also to call in their box.
Yes, indeed. for some strange reason, we call it the award-winning Deer Hunters Roundup. But we have a good time with it. Lots of polka. Sometimes some recipes. Of course, the deer kills, and there's prizes that are given away. Not by the biggest buck. It's, you know, anybody can send it in. We tend to also give away some prizes to the 18 and under class and then 18 and older. We've had one who's gotten a buck, geez, for the last 4 or 5 years, sends me a picture, and from what, 11, 12 years old when they were first able to start, who's entered into our contest every year. So it's a great time. But do we have time for one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
I was always kind of curious on this one. Has everybody figured out, okay, so you get your buck, now a steak, maybe $13 in the store or whatever for a really good steak. What's the price per pound after you put in the license and all the rest of it? It has to be kind of pricey.
Would you
think, you know?
I would agree with you that if you go with the license is probably, to deer hunt is probably the cheapest thing you've got out there.
Yeah.
You know, with the ammunition prices nowadays and the firearms and, you know, your food for whatever at camp for the week, I imagine that I couldn't even fathom how much.
Oh, now side by side.
How much per pound venison would actually cost you.
Yeah, but in some places it is corn fed, depending on where the deer have been.
True. All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, thanks for having us.
Good luck to everybody out there.
Yeah, enjoy your hunt this year.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.